Today's scripture is Ecclesiastes 3:3-6. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live. And afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun.
Welcome again to our guests that are with us. We have some folks here today with friends and others that are visiting from out of town. We're really glad that you've come our way. Hope you'll be blessed by our time together. And it's wonderful to see our sister Laverne here today. It's been way too long, and we're just so thankful she's feeling better. And just not the same without Laverne being in her spot. And we miss you, Laverne. Love you, and it's good to have her back today. Tim mentioned a little while ago, coming up on October 23rd, the Friends and Family Sunday. This is something we do every few months just to give us a special opportunity just to say to our friends, our family, hey, come and worship with us today. Let us honor you. Let us express to God how important you are in our lives. And with the Mothers of Preschoolers getting away here in the next week or so, the MOPS families, the Mothers of Preschoolers, their families will all be invited to join us. It's a great time. You know, sometimes we just need to be reminded. It's okay to say to folks, hey, come and worship with us today. And we guarantee you this will be a day where we really honor our friends and our family, and just thank God for the relationships that we have and for the blessings that people are in our lives. We'll be doing like we normally do on such a day at 9:30. We'll be having donuts, 10 o'clock our worship, and at 11:30 we'll be having our luncheon afterwards. So please mark your calendars for the 23rd, and also start inviting folks to join you. Pick up some cards. We'll make sure we have plenty out there on the table all the time, and just see how many folks we can just simply invite to come and to worship with us. In John chapter 11, Jesus meets Martha, whose brother Lazarus has just died. And as he comes to visit her in the village of Bethany, Martha's concern is why Jesus hasn't come earlier. Because if he had come, and she tells Jesus this, my brother might not have died. If you could have come here, you could have done something about it. And in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the question for everyone, truly. Do you believe this? Do you believe what Jesus says about himself and about life and death? You know, every person comes to that moment in their life where they have to face, where we have to face, our own mortality. And on an intellectual basis, it's not a big problem for us. Everybody knows that everybody's going to die. It's just kind of a fact. We don't think about that much. It's just a part of life. But when you think about that and it hits you maybe for the first time on a more emotional level, it can be kind of devastating, because it becomes a much more personal thing, not an abstract thing, but it becomes about me. And I can remember how it used to be for me. I used to always think, I feel so bad for all those people who are going to get old and die, because, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen to me. I just thought death was something that happened to everybody else. And then one day, I kind of found myself standing in the middle of a train track with this train coming down on me, and it just really shook me. I thought, this is going to happen to me. I mean, how is the world going to get along without Richard Shields? I'm not sure, but it's going to. I know it's going to happen, and I'm going to one day take my last breath, and I'm going to be gone from this earth. Long before Jesus talked about life and death, the teacher talked about it and wrote about it and wrote about this reality in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18. And he said this, as for men, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? And that's the question he asks. Who knows? Who really knows? Who knows? Who's been there and can tell us about this? How can you really know? So the teacher is asking the question, who knows? While Jesus is asking a very different question. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm saying about myself? Everyone has to deal with this reality facing each one of us in our own way. And it's interesting how different people react differently to the prospect of their own death, and even how cultures view death differently. Many of us, of course, we know about El Dia de los Muertos, kind of an interesting combination between some very ancient practices and traditions in Mexico, kind of mixed in with the Catholic All Saints Day, where graves are decorated and marigolds and candy skulls are brought out, and there are fiestas and parades and celebrations, and death is really embraced kind of as a part of life. You know, in African traditional religions, death isn't far removed from the living. The land of the dead is interacting with the land of the living all of the time. And you go through certain rituals to make sure that your immediate ancestors are pleased with you, because if they're not, then your crops may go bad, or your kids may get sick, or you may have some sort of financial problems. But there's a way to deal with it. There's a way to think about death and to interact with it. In our own culture, I think it's interesting how over the last 30, 40, 50 years, death has kind of, our view toward death has kind of changed. I think the more secular, materialistic our culture has become, the more we try to insulate ourselves from the reality of death. And I'm not speaking about believers, but just generally as a culture. My dad, I can remember stories that my dad told me when his mom passed. It was so different then. I mean, the family prepared the body for burial. The body lay in the family home. Everyone in the neighborhood came, from young children to the oldest, and that was just a part of life. Everyone saw it. Everyone participated in it. But things have kind of changed through the years. And I think part of that has to do with just the way our culture has changed. And death kind of gets pushed out and not talked about a lot, because I think a lot of times we're a little bit concerned about our own impotence as we face the prospect of our own passing. I've got a branch in my family tree that aren't believers. It's just when someone in that branch of the family dies, if mom dies in the hospital, maybe nobody's even at the hospital, the call goes to the family. The family says, you know what to do. They cremate the body. The family doesn't get together. The family doesn't talk about it. The family never mentions it. The family never comes. There's nothing. This goes on every time someone in that branch of that tree passes away. And since they're my family, I know why it's going on. I don't have to guess. I know what's going on because they don't know about what's going to happen. They have concerns about what's going to happen, and they don't want to talk about it, and they don't deal with it because they see that train coming down the track and they want to ignore it because they don't have any way to grapple with the reality of death, and it's difficult for them. So often we push it to the side. And that's why the teacher and what he has to say about death is so important, especially for our time, because he thinks it's important to think about it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house to feasting. I bet you didn't think about that, did you? It's better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. And you hear, of course, what he's saying. It's better to be in a house of mourning than a house of pleasure, because you need to think about this. You need to think about mortality. You need to think about the end of life coming, because it will help you in amazing ways as you think about the meaning of your life and what life is all about. And some people just want to block it out and never think about it. And he's saying this is something that you need to think about. You need to think about this. It's our reality. The psalmist said in Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Knowing that you're not infinite helps you think about what life really is about and what's important in life. It forces us to abandon all pride and all sense of accomplishment. I mean, we can get all excited about what we know or what we accomplish or what we can do, but I have to face this fact. I can't even survive. I can't survive. I cannot continue to go on this earth. It will come to an end. And you know what? That will give you a very strong sense of humility as you think about your life and the pursuits that you have. This understanding also helps us to appreciate and enjoy the fleeting pleasures of this world as for what they are, the gift of God. Sometimes people are so caught up in life and its pursuits and in doing whatever we think we need to be doing, we forget to enjoy the beautiful things and the wonderful things that are a part of living on this earth. We lose sight of the beauty of creation or the importance of companionship and dear friends. It's a strange way, perhaps, to put it, but ultimately, death is the antidote to our mad scramble for more at whatever cost and whatever pace it's going to take us. Because when we really stop and think about the fact that the end will come, it puts all of our strivings, all of our possessions in perspective, and it drives us to consider the importance of our relationships and the importance of God in our life. It's important to think about our mortality. It really is, because it makes us stop and think about what we're doing with our lives and where our lives are headed. And ultimately, if you face life and death squarely, you'll accept with fear and trembling your dependence upon God. The conclusion we know in Ecclesiastes 12 is to fear God. When I stop and think about the fact that I don't know. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes up and the spirit of the animal goes into the earth? You know who knows? God knows. God has the answer to all these questions. And the teacher says, you need to fear him. You need to love him. You need to worship him. You need to reverence him. You need to obey his commandments. You need to live in a right relationship with your God, because this is the God who knows about life and death. And his conclusion, read to us just a moment ago by Matthew, is, as you would expect from the teacher, bleak. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with a good man, so with the sinner. As with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. You hear what he's saying? This happens to everybody. Death is universal. Good, bad, whatever, it's going to happen. It's coming your way. And he says, this is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there's madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Here's your take home for the day. Let's memorize this verse together, okay? Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. So kind of a cheery verse to take home with you today. We'll get to something a little bit better in a minute, but that's true. Would you rather be a live dog or a dead lion? I'll be the dog, no problem. I mean, you know, any breed will do. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. Even the memory of them is forgotten. Eventually, that's true. Their love, their hate, their jealousy, they've long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. With that tag, under the sun, the teacher is so true. under the sun, from an earthly point of view, without further revelation that we'll get to in just a moment, when you look at life just as it is here on this earth, the dead don't come back. We don't hear them talking. We don't know about any activity. We don't see them thinking. Everything goes back to dust. That's what we know. Under the sun, that is the reality. And it's important. It's so important as you and I look at the book of Ecclesiastes to deal with the very bleak, what is truly a bleak point of view, to look at it, to understand it, to grasp it, before we quickly move on to what we'd really rather be talking about, which we will talk about in just a moment. But the good news really becomes good news as it's juxtaposed against this bleak news that under the sun, on this earth, we don't know. And apart from the revelation of God, we don't know. That's why for so many people it's difficult to even consider this. Whenever I think about stuff this negative, this bleak, you know, think of how many times comedians talk about death, and of course they try to do it in such a way to kind of lighten it just a bit, right? And I know probably the most famous comic line, I think I've quoted it here, because I remember doing this, quoting Woody Allen in a sermon. I thought, I can't believe I quoted Woody Allen. But he said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And you know, I'm a Groucho Marx fan. I know I probably shouldn't be, and that shows how old I am. And this has no place in a sermon, but Groucho Marx said, either that man is dead or my watch has stopped. I have no idea what that means. I don't understand the logic of it, but every time Groucho says something like that, I just laugh. Or W.C. Fields, you talk about old-time comedian, 1925, W.C. Fields is interviewed and is asked, what would you like on your tombstone? And he said, well, all things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. You know, it's like, let's get a laugh out of it. Let's turn the corner here. Let's make it funny. And I just want to tell you, as Christians, we don't have to pretend. We don't have to come up with some little joke to get our minds off of it. We can embrace what the teacher has to say. We can say, under the sun, he is so right. Under the sun, that is so true. That is the human experience. But at the same time, we have a better word than the teacher had. This is one place in the book of Ecclesiastes where you and I have a revelation that the teacher did not have. And it is the greatest of all revelations. And the word we have today is not the word death. Our word is life. Life. And I would like for you to read with me the words of our Lord Jesus. Read these with me, will you? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Tell me, do you believe that? Yes, we believe that. We believe that the word is not death. The word is life. But we truly need to see that in this world, it is death. It is death. It's the work of Christ that changes it. And that's what we need to grasp as Christians. Jesus opens up the possibility for life. He is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. In him was life, and the light, and that life was the light of men. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 5:24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John chapter 6, verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John closes his gospel with these words, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The better word for us is life. Life. Life in the Son. Life in Jesus Christ. Life that comes up out of the ground. Life that comes up out of death. life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death reigns on this earth. Why? It reigns because of sin. It reigns because of the fall. It reigns because of our rebellion. And that's when creation itself is subjected to futility, and decay and death pass even to the created universe. That's why the teacher says meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Everything is futile under the sun on this earth, apart from God's intervention or acting. That's so true.